There is peace in Christ. When we learn of Him, feel the love He felt for us. When He bore our sins, listen to His words. Let them come alive. If we know Him as He is, there is peace in Christ.
Good morning.
Want
to say welcome to everyone who's come out this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. And things cool down a little bit temperature-wise, makes it a little more comfortable, as long as we don't end up getting wet on the way out. But that might not be a problem either, since it's been so dry. Today we end our series that we've been in for the past 8 weeks, as I mentioned earlier, as we've been studying each phrase of the Lord's Prayer that I've been calling Connecting with God. And today we come to the final phrase of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, which is the prayer of fulfillment. For thine, Jesus is talking about God, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Each phrase of the prayer that we have been going through teaches us that we've all got choices to make as we pray that prayer. Will we sincerely pray the prayer and do what God is telling us to do and turn ourselves over to God and His blessings? Or will we just give lip service to that? Will we just go through some kind of moment of repeating something and not really turn to God, that actually we turn away from God and turn to other things? That is a choice that we all have to make. Sometimes the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, can seem something like we're just repeating, not something that we see the power in. And I can't think of three more important words you need to understand than those in this last phrase. For yours, O God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Listen closely, because what I'm about to say, I'm going to explain to you right now the reason for everything. Everything that's happened in the past and everything that's going to happen in the future, and the reason for the universe to be here in the first place, and the reason why you are alive. These three words, kingdom, power, and glory, explain that. They are so essential in understanding why we are. First, the kingdom of God is His plan. That is why the world is here. And it is His plan for all of eternity. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing that's happening in the world is going to change what God's plan is for those that He has created this far. History is just a little bit of time we have here as humans on this planet. But God existed before time. He exists now in time. And He will exist after time. The kingdom of God is His plan. Second, the power of God is His program. It is how God will accomplish His plan of eternity. God does not accomplish His plan according to what we as humans do. It's not through our human activities, what we do or don't do. It's not through our human accomplishments. God does it with His power. And third, God's glory is His purpose. Everything God does, He does to reveal something about Himself. He reveals what kind of God He is. God is loving and merciful and gracious and forgiving. That's His glory. He wants us to understand that about Him. He wants us to understand what He's like. And that is His glory. You will never understand God until you understand God's kingdom and His power and His glory. Because it all exists for the reason of revealing what God is like and for the purpose of giving you that life, true life, abundant life, Jesus said. That's why I came. In other words, you were made by God. He created you. And you were made for God. Until you understand that, life's not going to make any sense. Because you're going to be rowing upstream. You're going to be going in directions that seem to tear you apart, that seem to mess your life up, that seem to doesn't give you any purpose or meaning or reason to why you're alive. You have to understand that about God in order to make sense. That's why you're alive. God made you for Himself. The Bible tells us that God is a God of love, and it doesn't just say that He is, that He has love. It says that God is love. In other words, it's the essential character about Him. God is love. And God made you so that He could love you. He made you so you could live in His kingdom and be fulfilled by His kingdom. He made you to show His power. He made you to bring Him glory. Some people think that the kingdom of God is something out there, something yet to happen, something yet to be fulfilled, something yet to come. But on one side of the coin, it is still coming, but that's only part of it, because the truth is the kingdom of God is wherever God is king. If He's king in heaven, then the kingdom of God is in heaven. If He is made to be king on earth, then the kingdom of God is on earth. If He's the king inside of you, ruling in your heart, and you are surrendered and submitted to His will, then the kingdom of God is in you. And Jesus said, God's kingdom is in all three of these places. It's wherever God is king. So the kingdom of God is God's kingdom wherever He is. It's a present reality. It is here today. When Jesus sent His followers out to do good in the world, He said this to them. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to help people. I want you to assist the poor. I want you to care for the sick. I want you to educate people. I want you to share the good news. I want you to show love. He said, I want you to go out and lift up the downtrodden and release the oppressed. And I want you to establish justice. Now, all of these things, all of these good things that He said you are to do, He said, this is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. So whenever we are doing those things, we are demonstrating this is where God is. When we love and share that love and help others and bring justice, we are demonstrating this is where God is. That's why after people fill up their lives and they pursue all kinds of things to make them happy, they go out and they try to find the best job they can, and they try to find good friends, and they try to find a good family and a good home. And when they get all of those things, all of a sudden you're talking to people and they turn around and they ask, well, I've got all these things. Why am I so unfulfilled? It's because you weren't made for those things. You will never be satisfied living for things that you're trying to acquire for yourself. You weren't made to live for that. You will never find fulfillment in life until you get connected spiritually with God and understand the kingdom and the power and the glory that is in what He wants us to have. Only then will we begin to live in God's kingdom. Only then will we be able to live by God's power and God's glory. So how do I live in God's kingdom? How do I live by God's power? How do I live for God's glory? In other words, how do I have a fulfilled life? The kind of life that I was made to experience, the kind of life that I was designed by God to live. Well, why are there so many people not really being fulfilled in their lives? Well, it's because they're living for themselves. So let's look at these three keys to living a fulfilled life. The first one, real fulfillment comes through living in God's kingdom. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, you should live in a way that proves that you belong to God. If people looked at your life, could that be proof that you belong to God? If they were watching you, observing you, seeing what you do, what you say, how you live, would they know that you belong to God? Because He has called you into His kingdom and His glory for that purpose. What does it mean to live in God's kingdom? It means that you care about what God cares about in life. That's what it means to live in God's kingdom. We just care what God cares about. Usually we care about so many things in life. We care about a lot of things, but a lot of the things we care about, God doesn't care about. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about the reason not to worry. He taught us not to worry about your health, not to worry about your happiness, not to worry about your security, not to worry about your future, or your relationships, or your job, or your family. And after Jesus said, don't worry about these things, He said to them, God will give you all that you need from day to day. Now, here's the condition for doing that and receiving that. This condition is if you live for Him and you make the kingdom of God your primary concern, then you don't need to worry about things in life because God will take care of you. If you're surrendered, if you're submitted to the will of God and place Him first in your life as that which is most important, you will find life. You will find what your heart and your soul is yearning for. God blesses whatever we put first Him in. If we put God first in these things, then God blesses that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. That means place God above everything else. Anytime you put anything beside God in first place in your life, you know what we call that when we put things in place of God? We call them idols. So live in God's kingdom of making Him first in all that you do. And the Bible says the second way to live a fulfilled life is to live by God's power. I live in His kingdom, then I live by His power. The Bible tells us this, for the kingdom of God is not just something you talk about. It's how you live. It's living by God's presence in your life, living by God's power. Did you know that God does not bless a self-reliant person? In other words, He blesses people who are dependent upon Him. The problem with a self-made man is he usually, if he's self-made, he worships his maker. That means he worships himself. He thinks, I did all this. I acquired all this. I was able to accomplish all of this. And so I did this with my own hands, they may think. But God says, I don't bless those who are self-reliant. Instead, I bless people who expect me to help them. God blesses people who expect God to be there and to provide and to help them. And God said, and we find Jesus even saying this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. When you put God first, and when you rely upon Him and trust in Him, and put your faith in Him, then it will be done unto you. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Do you have any needs? Is there something going on in your life that you have some need of? Well, what do you expect God to do about that? Well, what you're expecting God to do in your life, I can tell you exactly what God will do in your life about those things. He will do whatever you expect Him to do. No more, no less. Because if you study the Scriptures, you find out that every time that God came from heaven and moved on earth and did a miracle, it's because somebody expected it. Somebody believed that God was going to do it. Somebody believed that God said that He would. And when God moved upon this earth, it was for people who believed. Somebody prayed. Somebody expected God to act. The Bible says that God uses us when we live according to faith. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 3, by His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. God says, you know, I'm able to do more than you can ever imagine. You see, God can make more changes and do more work and change more lives and make more things happen in just 1 week. If He is doing it and we're allowing Him to do it, then we can accomplish in our entire lifetime. We're constantly struggling and working and worrying and trying to have things change about us and about our life. And we work all of our life trying to get that to change. And God says, I can do it in a snap if you trust in Me. God can do more in just a moment than we can do in an entire lifetime. So we need God's power. How do I get God's power in my life? There are three ways. By praying, because God asks us to pray, and there's prayer and power go together. Second, by taking risks to obey God. We have to trust that God will do what He says He'll do. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Third, by not giving up. We often are wondering, where is God and why isn't God helping and what's going on? God grows your faith by testing it. I live for God's kingdom. I live by God's power. And the third thing that you've got to do if you're going to live a fulfilled life is I must live for God's glory. And how do you do that? The Bible says this, Jesus died to defeat sin and to change lives. And now He lives for the glory of God so that you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Whose glory are you living for? Some of you are living for the glory of yourself, what you're able to do, what you've accomplished, what you're planning. Some of you are living for the glory of your friends. Some of you are still trying to be what your parents wanted you to be, and you're living for your parents' glory. God didn't put you here on earth to fulfill the desires of anyone else or of your parents or of your husband or your wife or for me or for anybody else. God says, I want you to live for My glory. The reason why people aren't filled and fulfilled is that they give first-class allegiance and they are trying to please other people and other things, but they give that to a second-class cause. God says there's only one thing worth living for, the glory of God. Don't waste your life living for the wrong thing. Living to make money. Living for pleasure. Living for yourself. God made you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And He wants you to glorify Him by the way you live. How do I do this? How do I live for the glory of God? Well, I could give you 100 different ways to live for the glory of God, but as I conclude this message today, I'm only going to give you 3 real quick things. The first way to live for the glory of God is to show love to everybody. Did you know that every time you show love, it gives glory to God? Because God is love. And the scripture tells us that we are to warmly welcome each other. And that means accept people. We ought to have our doors wide open in this church. And no matter who walks through those doors, no matter where they've been, what they've done, or what's going on, we should accept them. And accepting them doesn't mean that we approve of what they do or who they are in that sense. But accepting them says that we show love, the love of God. And we accept them and receive them into the church just as Christ has warmly welcomed us. Then God will be glorified when we do that. It shows what God is like. God says, I want you to be like me. I loved you when you weren't so lovely. I called you when you were still in sin. And I want you to be like me. I want you to learn to love people the way I love people. And He says, every time you do that, you show glory, the glory of God. Being loving brings glory to God. And here's a second way you could bring glory to God. Use your abilities to serve everybody. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them, but for this reason, to help each other. When you use your abilities to help each other, God is glorified. God didn't give you talents for your benefit. Your talents are for the benefit of other people. I'm so grateful for people who are talented in areas that I'm not good at. Everybody has different talents. That little girl that we saw in the movie, in the video earlier, she has an ability to sing. You wouldn't want me to sing because it wouldn't bring glory to God, I'm afraid. But when I use what ability I have, that blesses others. When other people use their ability, that blesses me. You know, when I use my talent is not for me. My talent is for you. It's to help you. Sometimes I think that God has given me the talent to look at His Word and to find ways to express it and to share it. And when I do that, it blesses people. My talent is not to bless me, it's to bless others. But others have talents, and when they use theirs, they bless me. And God is glorified when we use our abilities together to serve others. And here's the third way you can show God glory. You can share the good news with everyone. The Bible says, as God's grace, and that God's grace is the good news about Jesus Christ, that will bring more and more people to Christ when we share God's grace about Jesus. And God will receive more and more glory as people come to know Jesus Christ and they're forgiven of their sins and they're given eternal life. Every time you share your faith, you bring glory to God. Every time you bring somebody to hear the good news, you bring glory to God. And so that's a good reason to bring people to church. Who are you planning to bring to church with you? In other words, who are you planning to do that so that you can bring glory to God? God says, I want you to bring someone. I want you to bring people. I want you to let them hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it brings glory to God. The Bible says there's a special place for people who help others get to know God. We're concluding this series. Do you want God's blessing on your life? Do you want to live a fulfilled life? Then I want to encourage you to do this every day when you wake up, and perhaps every night when you go to bed. I want you to start your day and end your day by praying this simple prayer. Father, today I live in your kingdom by putting you first in my life. I'll live by your power by trusting you for everything. And I'll live for your glory by showing love to everybody. And God, because of that, because of Jesus, I know I'm going to live with you forever. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we know the Lord's Prayer is the secret of fulfillment. It is the key to living the life that God, you meant for us to live. And Father, we all want your blessings on our lives, but not everybody is willing to do what you ask. So dear God, I come to you today because I want your blessings on my life. So first, I want to live in your kingdom. I want to put you first in every area of my life. God, I want to live by your power. So help me to depend more on you and less on myself. Give me the faith to take risks that are necessary to grow and to live for your glory. Help me not to give up when I'm afraid or when I'm discouraged. And dear God, I want to live for your glory by using the abilities you've given me to serve others. I want my life to be a blessing to others so that you can bless me. I want to show love and goodness to everybody. And I'm not going to ask you to bless what I'm doing, Father. I'm going to ask you to help me to do what you're blessing so that I may participate in your kingdom. And Father, today I surrender to your kingdom and I'll live by your power and I'll live for your glory because you gave Jesus for me so that I might live with you forever. So I come now to give myself to you. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen.
Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. Oh, breath of life, come cleanse and renew us. And fit your church to meet this hour.
Wind of God, come bend us, break us.
Oh, wind of God, come bend us, break us. Till harmony confess our need. Then in your tenderness remake us. Revive, restore for this.
Oh, breath of love.
Oh, breath of love, come breathe within us. Renewing thoughts and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us. Revive your church in.
Revive us, Lord.
Revive us, Lord, it's elevating. What harvest fields are vast and wide. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip your church to spread the light.
Revive us, Lord. lost and white. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip your church to spread.